down towards the near corner. Cody Eakin goes in shorthanded, feeds in front, score! It's Carlson! William Carlson shorthanded. Miller, right point shot, score! Tipped out in front, and it's 4-0 Vegas! Here comes Lindbergh, going to get ahead of the defense. He pulls it away, goes circle, he shoots, he scores! Oscar Lindbergh! Now a breakaway, here's David Perron, all by himself, the righty down the middle, fakes, backhand score! David Perron, 1-0 Vegas! Here's Hunt, setting up his man in front, Carrier, score! It's his first goal, William Carrier, 7-0 Vegas!
And welcome into the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on a Monday bye week for the fellas. They won't be in action until a Saturday, 41 games through the season, and things are looking up. Clayton Hamilton here, along with Frank Harnish on a gloomy, sprinkly day weather-wise, but all things sunny for the Golden Knights.
I think the weather out there is great. I mean, we haven't had any precipitation in the valley for 116 days.
Yeah, we could use it.
That's a record. So you know what? It's all good, and it's only going to be a couple days here. Long as we're not outside at the beer house, I'm all for it. I don't care. And then supposedly this is going to go, and it's going to dump a whole bunch of snow in the Rockies as well. So the valley needs it, so I'm all good with it. We're inside. I'm good.
Yeah, that's good. It could be a little harder, though, because my car is very dirty, Frank. It needs a little harder.
I don't think it's going to clean it, because remember, it comes through California first, and so it gets all the dirty air from there. So it's probably dirty rain anyway. So
that's true. California's a dirty place, man. It's just dirty. But you know what? You know why? You know why it's dirty?
Because they have three teams that aren't in first place in the NHL.
Yes. Yes. They're following in the footsteps, eating the exhaust of the Vegas Golden Knights.
And pieces of beard hanging around all over the place, blowing in the wind, too.
So. Oh, yeah. That was, you know, I showed that clip of Nazem Kadri pulling off Joe Thornton's beard and having the tumbleweed of hair across the ice to a number of people over the weekend, and they found it as fabulous as I did.
You fight with the strength of many men tonight.
Well, I wonder if Brad May ever got in a fight where somebody got their beard ripped off.
I don't know. You know, the beard wasn't really a thing.
No, it wasn't a big thing. The playoff beards were.
Playoff beard, right, when Brad was playing. And we're going to have Brad May today, former tough guy and still current tough guy. He's still a pretty tough guy. We're going to have him on later today. He not just played for the Buffalo Sabres, among other teams, but is now one of the analysts that works at AT&T Sportsnet, covers the games. Is a pretty good fellow, so we're going to have him today, which is going to be great.
Yes, and certainly looking forward to that. And unfortunately, a little technical difficulty with the phone system here to kick off the show, so we're trying to get that taken care of right now, and then we will have Brad up there. But lots of good things going on, like you mentioned. You know, it's so funny, because the last show we did, and we kind of did it tongue-in-cheek, but there were some people out there that actually acted like the sky was falling after the loss to St. Louis, a very hard-fought 2-1 loss, which could have gone either way. The kind of crazy goal at the end where Marc-Andre Fleury thought he had made the save, and the puck was just sitting there, and Stastny hits it in, and now all of a sudden two wins again, and everything's coming up roses, and the sun is shining, even though it's actually not shining in the valley today, and they're 60 points at the midway point and getting ready to go on their bye week now, and everybody's happy again, and now it's all about playoff talks and all-star game, and we know Gerard Gallant's the coach. Who else from the Golden Knights is going to be there? I love the overreaction of people in this day and age. It makes me laugh.
We got to remember, Frank, that whatever you see either has to be the greatest thing you've ever seen or the worst thing that you've ever seen. There's no middle ground.
Not a lot of gray area anymore.
No, not a lot. There is, you know what there is? There's a lot of steel gray area, though, here in the Valley.
With a little red rock red and some gold in it.
And some gold.
And some white.
Well, they look sharp. They look sharp last night. Last night was very aesthetically pleasing with the blue, the red, white, and blue of the New York Rangers. And all of the blue in the crowd last night. Most of the Ranger fans that came, they all came donning the blue. Didn't see as many white jerseys in the crowd last night, but saw the Adam Graves, saw the Mark Messier, the Brian Leetch, the Wayne Gretzky. It was a... just a parade of former Rangers walking through the crowd.
Raj Gilbert was there last night.
Former Ranger great
was there. So, and you know what? I hope that all the Ranger players have decided to stay here for their bye week and enjoy everything that we have to do here in Las Vegas, spend a lot of money, help out our economy. You know what? It's just one game. You lost it. It's not a big deal. But, you know, so it seemed like everybody had a good time last night. Even the Rangers. That's one thing that does it kind of always amazes me. When we do the games and we're doing the post-game show at the beer house and we see the crowd filing out, and let's face it, more often than not, they're filing out after the Vegas Golden Knights have won. It's not like when I've been to other stadiums when their team loses. There's a couple people that look a little sad. Sometimes there's people that look a little bewildered, like what just happened, because they can't believe that an expansion team is this good. But for the most part, even the opposition after a loss, the people are smiling. Mm-hmm. And they're having a good time, and they're kind of looking around like, now what are we going to do the rest of the night in Vegas? Because they're here in Vegas. I mean, New York has a ton of stuff to do. But it's had a high of zero the other day. It's cold out there. They've got a lot of snow. They're in Vegas. We're in the 60s. So even in a loss, people are still in a good mood. And that's unusual for me from going to other hockey mm-hmm. arenas throughout my life.
Yeah, they are in Las Vegas. Plenty to do here. Now, they say, Frank, that New York is the city that doesn't sleep. But I lived there for 11 years, and it takes a little nap, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, because they do have a thing called last call. And I don't know if you ever tried to buy a hammer in New York City at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's very difficult to do.
I have not tried to buy a hammer at 4 o'clock
in the morning. You can do that here. So Las Vegas, truly, the city that doesn't sleep.
Yes. Well, the casinos don't have clocks unless you go to the race and sportsbook, because you have to know what time the kickoff or the tip-off or the pucks drop or the gate, the post time is for the horse races.
Right.
So that's the only place you'll see the clocks here.
And you can yell at some jabroni from New York that doesn't know how to bet, that walks up and says, I want to bet Villanova. How do I do that? I want to bet Villanova. And then the guy has got to look on the sheet for him and say, do you want the points or do you want the money line? What's that? I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You're standing there going, come on, TikTok, buddy, TikTok.
Yeah. I want them and now you want to parlay. Now you want this. Now you want to, you're absolutely right.
Learn how to bet.
I don't know if I would have the patience to be a ticket writer in a sports book.
I gotta say, there's a lot of folks in town with very challenging jobs, but full marks and kudos to the many sports book writers in our city that put up with so many folks from out of town that are unsure of how to bet. And we're glad that you're here, and we're glad that you're betting. We wish you would take a tutorial ahead of time. Know what a BIN number is, a betting information number. Know what that is before you go up. Ask somebody around the book. They will help you. But the patience of the sports book writers in this town is to be commended.
And at certain times of year, and one of those times is rapidly coming up with the Super Bowl coming up, but there's certain times when it's got to be even more frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky Derby time, Super Bowl time with all the prop bets and everything. This year's NHL playoffs is going to be the busiest that it's ever been, because Vegas will have a team in there. So, kudos to everybody. But yeah, if you are from out of town, if you're here, if you're from any of the NHL teams on their bye week right now, enjoy Vegas, have a good time, spend your money, and come on back to the T-Mobile later on in the season and hopefully lose a game.
Yeah, hopefully lose a game. That'd be great. That'd be outstanding if folks would do that. Well, you know what? We're still trying to connect with Brad May. We're having a little phone issue, so we're gonna try and do that. So we're gonna flip flop. Let's flip flop, Frank. Let's flip flop the segments today and talk about the game on Sunday night. And let's not forget, we can talk about the game on Friday as
Absolutely.
Well, because two-game winning streak, they went to Chicago, the Madhouse on Madison, and took care of business on Friday night. And what was impressive to me, they got up early in that game. They had a 3-1 lead. They were all in control before the Blackhawks found their way back. Not only did the Blackhawks tie it, the Blackhawks went up by a goal, and I felt like that was an important moment for the Knights to be down in a game that they had controlled and have to figure out a way not just to tie it, but to get the game winner, and that's what they did.
To me, Friday night was kind of like lesson night for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Showed that they can get off to a good start, that they can skate with anybody in this league, that they can bounce back after a tough loss in St. Louis the night before. Not a heartbreaking loss, not a devastating loss, but a loss to a good team. Come back to Chicago, get out of the gate fast, get the 3-1 lead like you mentioned, and then all of a sudden, let's face it, they kind of quit playing a little bit, some of them. Not with the same intensity that we see this team with. And all of a sudden, Chicago gets a rhythm. They start cycling the puck. They start feeling good about themselves. Their young goalie, Jeff Glass, starts making some saves and getting them in the game. Well, he's not really young, but their backup goalie. And all of a sudden, Chicago not only gets back in it, but like you said, they take the lead. Now, at that time, especially for an expansion team, you think, okay, unfortunately, they learned a tough lesson because now they have back-to-back losses. But this team said, no, let's regroup. Let's start playing again. They tie it up. Then they get the game winner. We always say they need to play 60 minutes. And that's it's not a cliche. It's a truth in the NHL. But it is nice to know that sometimes when you forget that and you do get behind, that this team can actually turn it back on again. A lot of teams, once you turn it off and you get in that funk, you can't regain that momentum. They did against Chicago. They got the win. I think that was a good lesson because, okay, we can't let that happen again. When we have a team down, we must keep on playing and we must kick them. They did that in the end. They got the win. And then yesterday was just a good back-and-forth game against a pretty good Ranger team.
And Gerard Gallant was not afraid to mix it up at the end of the game. We saw him do that last night against the Rangers. We saw it against the Blackhawks, that he wanted to find the players that were playing the best, go with the hot hand. We see that sometimes in football, the two quarterback system, right? They both play in the first half, and whoever got the hot hand gets the second half. And it was the same way with that he felt like he needed to get a little help for Cody Eakin, drop David Perron on with Alex Tuck, Cody Eakin. That resulted in the game-tying goal on a Friday. And then last night we saw him at important moments. He mixed it up, and when they needed really good defense, he put out Eric Haula and Pierre-Edouard Belmar together.
And again, they were such different type games. St. Louis was such a different game than the Chicago game. And then New York was kind of like in between both of those. St. Louis, a very physical team that blocked shots all over the place. Chicago, more of a finesse team that got their rhythm going, but then they came back and won again. And the Rangers, I wouldn't say they're overly physical, but they do block some shots. They can hit a little bit here and there. So three different kind of teams, but they played well in each one of them. And again, they could have been looking at the bye week coming up. They could have looked at a lot of different factors. But this is a good team. They're going to go on their break. And I believe that they're all professional enough, even the ones that are young. And by the way, happy birthday to Wild Bill Carlson, or William Carlson. And I think they'll be fine and getting ready for the second half of the season. At this point, I'm not going to use the L word. I'm not going to say they're a lock, but they are certainly a prohibitive favorite to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I think they are certainly well on the way. 60 points at the halfway mark. If they go 500 over the second half of the season, that's 100 points, Frank.
Yeah, and that is in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Certainly is. And you mentioned Wild Bill. Well, Wild Bill, he had himself quite a game. His 22nd goal, Frank. And he had the play of the game, and our play of the game is brought to you by Best Mattress. Best Mattress, best service, best selection, best price guaranteed, William Carlson.
Englund's going to regroup for his team. Coming up in 11 minutes to go in the third. Smith flying down the wing, feeds it out of front, score! Who else? William Carlson gives Vegas the lead!
Wild Bill off a great feed from Riley Smith. This line does it again. It's 22nd of the season.
And it's Dave Gosher and Shane Knighty all fired up on AT&T Sportsnet. And there were plays made all over the ice. It all started with Derek Englund and the vision for him to get the pass to Jonathan Marsh's show, the beautiful chip pass to Riley Smith with speed. He hit William Carlson for the open net.
That touch pass to Smith was absolutely beautiful. I mean, that was about as perfect as you can do it. And then you think Smith's going to go in and take the shot. He rifles a pass over. Somebody that doesn't have the confidence right now of William Carlson might have fanned on that or maybe not gotten all of it. He actually did hit it a little bit towards the middle of the net too much because it was so wide open. I think Pavlik thought it was going to go right in the post, and it kind of surprised him a little bit. He got an arm on it, but it was a lower part of an arm, and his arm and it bounced in. Right now, the puck is bouncing well for William Karlsson, but make no mistake about it, he's also doing his job. If he is not on the All-Star team, there needs to be an investigation. There needs to be a lot of different stuff because he should be an absolute lock for the NHL All-Star team.
Yes, he should. And all you Vegas Golden Knight fans out there, hashtag WildBillASG on the Twitter machine. Let's get him to the All-Star game. Of course, you can follow me at Clayton_JoeFan. Follow Frank at VGKFrank and follow Magnum at Magnum702. Get all of your news and information. Also, our good buddy Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, you can follow him at Ryan Hockey Guy, and we look forward to Ryan coming back later in the week. But yeah, let's get Wild Bill to the All-Star game.
He's got to be there, and he shouldn't be the only Golden Knight there, but he should definitely be one of the participants in that game. And you can make arguments for all sorts of guys down the road, but remember, there's only so many positions. It is 3-on-3. There is four teams, so that helps a little bit, but it's not like the teams have full rosters or whatever. But William Karlsson, with what he's done, I believe he's a plus-minus of 40 now. He's got 22 goals. I mean, this kid is absolutely lighting it up. It seems like over a month ago that we were talking about how he had more goals than he had in the last two seasons combined. Forget about that. He's so far beyond that point, it doesn't matter. This guy's actually vying for one of the top players in the entire NHL this year, not just an All-Star spot.
And he should be on there with his buddy, Jonathan Marsh's show, and as you said, beautiful touch pass. And it's a shame, Frank, that there can't be three assists on a goal, because that whole play got started with Derek Englund, and he made the long stretch pass right to the blue line for Jonathan Marchessault to start the Magic.
And Derek Englund, I would venture to say that I believe they've got more offense out of Derek Englund than they originally thought they were going to get when they first signed him and put him on the team. They thought he was going to be that hard bruiser guy. In fact, let's face it, he was probably the odds-on favorite to get in the first fight of the season. Mm-hmm. He hasn't gotten in a fight yet. He's been doing his job. He's physical when he needs to be. He's intelligent. He knows the game. He's a good teammate in the locker room, on the ice, at the facility, around the neighborhood, and everything else. Derek Englund has been a really, really nice fit here. But anything offensively you get out of him is kind of a plus. And he has had some offensive moments, scoring some big goals, getting assists here and there. And like you said, not an assist on that play, but for all intents and purposes, the one that started it out and led to the beautiful goal.
And Derek Englund certainly playing the best hockey of his career. And he seems comfortable. And something that William Karlsson had said during the postgame show last night, Frank, and he was talking about, I remember Chris had asked him, you know, are you guys still playing with a chip on your shoulder? And he said, yeah, we are, but we're also playing with knowing that we have an opportunity to do something about that chip. And Derek Englund's one of those guys. He was just a couple of fists in a meat hook in other places that he has been, and they have allowed him to be a number one defenseman. They've allowed him to be a mentor. They've allowed him to contribute offensively, and he has taken that opportunity.
And you, when you talk about him being a mentor, what better type of a mentor can you have? Yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury and other guys on the team, like we said, that have been stars and they know the ropes of that. But for the guys coming up, for the guys like Alex Tuch and Shea Theodore, who had to go down to Chicago, and that could have been very, you know, let's face it, it could have been crushing. It could have ruined their morale and everything else. But Derek Englund can go up to him and go, look, guys, I not only went out down to like a AHL team, I was playing here in Vegas with the Wranglers in the ECHL. He's been through the ringers. He knows what it takes. He knows that hard work and discipline and finding your role and excelling at it is the way to not only make it in this league, but stay in this league and be an integral part of a team. So when you look at Derek Englund and you see the road that he's traveled to get here, how can anybody else not be motivated and give everything they've got and not give up on themselves? So Derek Englund, because of the road he's traveled to get here, is that even that much more of a mentor and that much more valuable in the locker room?
And another guy that appreciates the opportunity, although with Pittsburgh, with Calgary, a healthy scratch for a number of those games. you know, sitting down wondering when he was going to get the opportunity to be the guy. And he is certainly one of the core guys here for this year and for this team. Another guy that they leaned on heavily, Frank, right there between the pipes. Another outstanding game for Marc-Andre Fleury.
You know, not only was it an outstanding game, but we're talking about guys on the All-Star game. And I know Marc-Andre Fleury has missed a ton of time with a concussion. But if he doesn't get that concussion, and he plays like he has this entire season, and he's got a much larger sample size. First off, the scary part is the record's probably even better than it is right now, which is hard to imagine.
Right.
But it's a reality. He's like 9-2-1 now. And you could make an argument that he is also an all-star. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at ESPN and their all-stars, and they have Jonathan Quick and Gibson from Anaheim as the two goalies for the Pacific. And it even says on there, you can make an argument that Vegas deserves it, but because they've had so many, we really can't give it to them. That's why Gibson kind of wins by default over Jones in San Jose. But realistically, it probably is somebody from Vegas. They just don't have a large enough sample size. They've gotten great goaltending from all of them, and Dave Pryor, we've talked about him at nauseam doing the job he's done. But Marc-Andre Fleury, for the games he's played, has been absolutely phenomenal. Take out the game against Detroit, which was not him in the third period. He's been pretty much lights out all season.
He certainly has, and just what a treat to watch him. And he was our player of the game, the player of the game brought to you by Brankus Team Realty. Your home sold, guaranteed, Marc-Andre Fleury.
After the games last night, their coaches go to Tampa. McDonough with a wrist shot, blocked wide. Now McDonough picks it up again, trying to find a little daylight. Wrist shot clubbed away by Fleury. Ryan McDonough trying to go upstairs, but Marc-Andre Fleury able to bat it away with a glove. Puck dropped, Aaron A. wins a drive, and a save. Fleury right off the draw. Went up and out of play into the protective netting. 2-1 Golden Knights. Go-ahead goal here in the third period from William Karlsson, his team leading 22nd. Zuccarello throwing it towards it, deflected. Save Fleury, had to stop the rebound, 2-1 Shea.
Just some of the saves Marc-Andre Fleury made last night, keeping them in anytime you're in a tight game like that, Frank, where the issue goes late. Your goaltender right in the mix, Marc-Andre Fleury, another stellar performance.
Yeah, and ironically enough, faced 29 shots last night. They've faced 29 shots in the shutout he had a couple games back. Where's 29? They like to take 29 shots at him. You need more than that if you want to beat Marc-Andre Fleury, especially in this day and age. And the last, and okay, he did lose the St. Louis game, but it was a 2-1 game on a fluky kind of crazy goal. Probably should have won that one too. This guy has been absolutely phenomenal, and as good as he is on the ice, he means even more to this team in the locker room and the practice facility and everything else. And he might be a quiet guy, but he's got a great personality, and he's one of those practical joker types.
He is. The Golden Knights climb to a 29-10-2, 60 points on the ledger. And remember, when your Vegas Golden Knights win, you win too. Keep listening here to Fox Sports 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. After every Golden Knights win like we had yesterday, you get a chance to win a $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers. We are going to give that away right now. The number is 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340, lucky number 7. You're going to get the $50 gift card to MJ Christensen Diamond Jewelers, so give us a call. When we come back, we've got it all set up. Now, Brad May is going to join us on the other side of the break. This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnisch here on a Monday, start of the bye week for the Golden Knights, mathematically halfway through the season. Game 41 in the books last night. Rangers taking a loss, taking the old L, 2-1 to the Vegas Golden Knights.
Well, now they got a taste of pretty much what everybody gets when they come to T-Mobile Arena, at least the majority of teams. Vegas absolutely incredible at home. Like you mentioned, the exact midway point, 41 games into the season. I see a lot of sites out there doing their midday season awards and this, that, and the other. And, you know, might be fun to think about Vegas, too, because who is the real MVP at the season's the midway point. Obviously, Gerard Gallant is should be coach of the year for the entire league right now. Mm-hmm. If they make the playoffs, which they're going to, he needs to be coach of the year. This team, what they've done is unprecedented, and I know we've said it over and over again, but at the midway point, you can reflect a little bit. I mean, is Carlson the MVP? Is Marchessault the MVP? Is Gerard Gallant the MVP? Is Dave Pryor the MVP?
Yeah, Dave Pryor.
You can make arguments for so many different people, and some of them are names that people didn't even know, but you can throw in there and you can go, you know, you actually can make a case.
You know what's funny is we talk about how many defensemen that there were at the beginning of the season and the depth in that. And then you look at how many different defensemen have had to play. But the two rock-steady guys back there have been Nate Schmidt and Colin Miller. And those two have been in every game, and they have been factors in every game.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing about it, too, is the other thing when we talked about the number of defensemen, and we mentioned it here on this show, and every national show from ESPN to NHL Network to Fox Sports to everything else, national mentioned it. Well, what is George McPhee going to do? Who's he going to trade and get rid of? Because he can't keep them all. You absolutely can't keep them. They know there's going to be movement. Well, there hasn't been movement. Because like you said, they have given guys opportunities here and there. They have used a wealth of depth at the defensive position. So it's right now George McPhee is still playing that hand close to his vest, and so far so good.
It is so far so good. And so far so good, the Gremlins have worked their way out of our system, Frank. And we have been able to reach out to Arizona and find Brad May, who's wandering around the desert. And we're able to connect with him. Brad May, of course, the excellent analyst for AT&T Sportsnet, does our Vegas Golden Knights games. But you probably remember him from his time as a Buffalo Sabre.
Cabaretti grabs that one and hangs on. Oh, we've got a point for it. May firing punches out there. Oh, and May is just hammering away. May is hammering. Stern. Now Stern comes back with a couple. Brad May was just drilling Ronnie Stern. And finally it comes to an end.
We'd like to welcome in Brad May to the program. Welcome, Brad.
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. Sorry for the delay. We got everything worked out on our end. But I want to know, man, what did poor Ronnie Stern ever do to you, man?
You know what? Ronnie Stern was a tough player. I actually loved playing against him. But actually, in that fight, it was the second game of the season in 1996-97 season. And I remember it vividly because I dislocated my shoulder, my right shoulder, in that fight. And I had surgery like 3 days later, a whole bank reconstruction of my right shoulder. But no, Ronnie Stern was a tough player, big player as well. Obviously in Calgary in a different time as well. His teammates have a lot of good things to say about him, the way he was able to play, but also protect his teammates.
Well, you mentioned what a tough player he was. There was a lot of tough guys back then. Who's the toughest guy that you ever fought?
You know, like, there's so many guys. I would say Derek Brugart, guys. Derek Brugart's not alive today, so I always feel compelled to bring his name up. He was a heck of a teammate from all accounts, and it's pretty sad that he's not with us. But Derek Brugart, 6'8", just a real, real animal out there. But there's so many guys that really, if you weren't ready to compete and get physical and fight and be ready for it, there was so many guys that could beat you. You could beat him one night and then he'd beat you up the next. So it's difficult to say who's the toughest. But two guys in my mind, when I started in the NHL, Joey Kosher and Bob Probert were probably the best 1-2 tandem in the NHL, and I'm sure Tony Twist would have something to say about that from St. Louis, but I think Tobin and Kosher are the two toughest.
We're on with Brad May, and Brad, I know you remember some of the heavyweight bouts you were in, but we wonder if you remember this moment as well.
Pumping it up to LaFontaine, he gets tripped up, gets it to May, and over the line, he's May going in on goal, he shoots, he scores! Win!
And, of course, the great Rick Jenneret on that call, who he should just call every game.
You know what? Rick Jenneret was the best. Is the best. What a great announcer. He was actually inducted in the Hall of Fame a few years ago to that call right there that that you just played. It was a great moment in time for me, no doubt about it. And, yes, I love hearing it. But it was in 1993, I believe, April 24th, and it was a special time for the Buffalo Sabres and myself, obviously. But Pat LaFontaine, another Hall of Famer, was the one who passed me that puck, and lots of fun. I love remembering it, but you guys know as well as anybody. It all this stuff passes, and you know, now I'm sitting in Las Vegas, and I got to tell you, being retired now and being able to cover the Golden Knights like you guys, it's exciting every night. I think I've turned into a hockey fan. I've always been a player, and then I got right into being an analyst. I don't think I've ever watched a hockey game in 20 years without, you know, being a player or actually being, you know, being a worker. I'm actually a fan of this team, their character and the way they're playing.
You know, I've kind of become that way, too, and I had a team before the Vegas Golden Knights came out here, but I watch them now, and I find myself rooting for the Vegas Golden Knights in my heart all the time. But you're a guy who, as we started out the interview with, you know, you weren't afraid to mix it up a little bit. You weren't known as a prolific goal scorer, but you certainly had your number of goals, I believe 127, and that game winner there, you have a goal named after yourself, for crying out loud, a big one in the playoffs. What was your most memorable moment from hockey? Was it on the ice, or was it maybe up in the booth or doing something else? I mean, I'm sure you would love to call a Stanley Cup winner sometime down the road, and who knows, maybe this year.
Yeah, you know what? That would be amazing. But I for me, that would be second fiddle from being a player and having the opportunity to hoist the Stanley Cup. Because it's such an ultimate team game, you know, that moment for me, of course, scoring that goal in overtime and with the Buffalo Sabres, and I've got a nickname for my life, Mayday, from that point. It's, you know, amazing. All those individual things are very cool, but to win a Stanley Cup with your teammates in an organization, having the ability on the ice to hoist the Stanley Cup was, without a doubt, the number one goal, number one dream, and certainly number one memory. But, yeah, being on this side of it now, not being a player, it's fun. It's really, really been a very nice transition from, I've been working with the Buffalo Sabres for the last number of years and doing their calls in the same capacity. And I'm out here now in Las Vegas and just love it. Obviously winning cures all ailments, but it's the way they win. And it's, you know, with the graciousness that these guys have, I really believe they've taken, you know, a real love for the city of Vegas and have stepped in and helped out and have been members of the community and all that, all the good things outside of the game. But then 18,200 and whatever people were there last night cheering. Some were Rangers fans, and I guarantee you some of those Rangers fans were converted to Golden Knights fans. It's such a fun atmosphere in Las Vegas.
You talk about the team game, and the narrative on this bunch coming in was if they were going to win hockey games, it was going to be because Marc-Andre Fleury was going to keep the score close enough that James Neal could score enough goals that maybe they would get 20, 25 wins. They've blown that out of the water, playing an entirely different style than what the narrative dictated. What is it about this team that has made them so successful?
Well, you know what, I said it the last couple broadcasts that we've done, just what I've witnessed is the top six players, our top six forwards, you know, just the way first line, second line, well, you know, they have four lines that rule. So Gerard Gallant wants to get all his players to contribute and be on the ice and actually, you know, have a place in the victory. And but their top six forwards are all scoring. They're all over 30 points per guy, obviously being led by Jonathan Marchessault. Each and every one of those guys has stepped up and scored game winners and big, big goals. But the bottom six have killed penalties, and they play that energy game, and they're able to capture momentum when they lose it. So each and every player on the forward group have actually contributed. The back end has been very responsible, obviously been bailed out by some good goaltending. We've seen five goaltenders for the Golden Knights which is actually amazing that they have a record, you know, to speak of when with the injuries and the adversity they went through early on. I think every player has factored into the success of this team. And I, bottom line is, I don't think it's a fluke. You know, they're playing as a team, and they were built like that. So I'm sure they're overachieving, or certainly, you know, doing more than was expected, even from the internal group. But you know what? When you actually set goals, you got to continually update those goals and refocus them. And I really do believe that they actually believe that they're, well, number one, they're number one in the Western Conference. But there's a real belief that this team, you know, has this, something special that has the ability to win. And I'm talking Stanley Cup here when I say that, which I think I'm nuts from 3 months ago that I'm actually able to say that today. But I say it with the utmost confidence.
Brad May joining us here, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio. By the way, we'll have some Vegas Golden Knights tickets to give away for Saturday, so stick around for that. Brad, I know we've seen teams that seem like they're kind of built for the regular season that can win President's Cups and that, but then fall short in the playoffs. Then we see teams that maybe just sneak into the playoffs, like the LA Kings a few years ago, actually the Nashville Predators last year, who didn't win the Cup, but they made it to the finals and were right in it. So there are different ways to build a team, but when am I out of my mind when I look at this team and I see this is a team that can not only have success in the regular season, but because of their depth and their grittiness and everything else, there's no reason that they shouldn't be able to have success in the playoffs as well.
Well, no, I do believe that. The way they've played, now, when adversity strikes, it strikes hard for teams. You know, if one player gets injured, it upsets the apple cart. So there's a lot of things that are going to factor into the success of this team and their ability down the stretch. To this point, they've really handled that adversity really well, but that's why it's an 82-game season, and it's so difficult, you know, to get through that final team. Only one team can win. I do believe they have the horses. I think they'll have to go out and bolster this team by, you know, adding some pieces, some depth possibly. I don't know about, you know, upsetting the chemistry. Obviously, that's up to Mr. McPhee and the rest of his group, but there's so many great positive things that are happening for the Vegas Golden Knights right now. But I do want to, you know, a word of caution. It's 82 games. I've seen teams leading the league at this point in time and end up, you know, battling for a playoff spot. Not, you know what I mean? By slippage because of certain things. So I think you have to temper your expectations, but be really, really happy that these guys are having banner years.
Certainly nobody saw them with 60 points at the midway point. What do you think it's going to take point-wise to get into the playoffs, get them a little positioning in that? Because I can't envision that they're going to have 60 points in the second half as well. The schedule gets a lot more bunched together. There's big road trips coming up. We've got the game and then four games on the road, then a couple home games and six games on the road. So it does get a little bit tougher, and it gets a lot, like I say, it gets a lot busier as well. Not so many off days between games.
I'd be absolutely crazy if I said they wouldn't make the playoffs. That's how much it's changed. They're in a position right now that with 60 points, if they go 500 hockey, which over 23 or 4 teams already right now, and I've looked at this number, but not recently in the last few days. Let's even say 25 teams are 500 or better, their record, and that's all about obviously games played, the points ratio. With three-point games, if the Golden Knights go 500 hockey, they'll have 101 points, and that's definitely in the playoffs. It has to be in the playoffs. But, you know, it all depends on what teams get hot and what teams fold under the adversity that they're going to face. I don't see that for the Vegas Golden Knights, but there's a lot of good hockey to be played, and there's some teams right now that we're probably not even thinking of that are going to get their games in order, you know, go back to the LA Kings in their first Stanley Cup. They snuck into the playoffs in the eighth spot, and they rolled with a record of 16-4 in the playoffs to win the Stanley Cup, which is absolutely amazing. So, you know, so many things can happen, but right now, they're one of my favorites in the Western Conference, without a doubt. I mean, because it's Las Vegas, if I was a betting man, I'd put money down on the Golden Knights because of the way they played. They haven't given me any reason to doubt them. Their consistency has been there from start to finish.
Like we've said many times here, the one thing that they couldn't have happen and then be successful was lose Marc-Andre Fleury. They lost Marc-Andre Fleury, and they were successful. So they've stared down their biggest fear and conquered it, and I feel like it's just on the upswing for this team. But, Brad, we really appreciate you joining us. Sorry for the time snafu that happened, but we're glad you were able to make time for us, and you're welcome here anytime.
I got to be honest. I was actually on an airplane, and my plane from Vegas was delayed, so I actually wouldn't have been able to get on at the first time anyway. So it all worked out perfectly. So you know what? Just like the Golden Knights season, it's all coming together.
It's all coming together. Thank you, Brad. We look forward to after the bye week catching back up with you when you get back into town.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
How about that, how things work out sometimes? See, it's even magical here. So all those nasty things we were saying about the person that unplugged the phone, well, thank you, as it turns out, for unplugging the phone. It seemed like a stupid move, but I guess it helped us out.
Well, we got the bye week, as we have said, 5 days off, but they are back in action against Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers on Saturday, the 13th of January. That game starts at 7 o'clock. We have tickets to give away, and why not make it after the guy that made one of the great plays last night, number 19 himself, Riley Smith, caller number 19. You are going to go see the Edmonton Oilers and the Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday night, the 13th. That's 702-876-1340, 702-876-1340. When Frank and I come back, we're going to talk about what happens when you get a prize that you don't want. What are your options? This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in the Valley. And welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Congratulations to Josh, who won those tickets to the Oilers game. We will have tickets all week long. Tomorrow we're going to have Johnny Greco and some of the in-game entertainment team from the Golden Knights going to join us, let us know what's happening on the back half of the season. But Frank, sometimes you get an award, you get an honor, and you just don't want it. Remember what Ricky Bobby said, if you ain't first, you're last.
Well, Elias Andersson, the captain of the Swedish team, we just saw them lose to Canada in the finals of the World Juniors. Well, he took a silver medal, and he said, I don't want this thing. Andersson was the 7th overall pick by the New York Rangers in the recent draft. When he came in, he said, I'm a leader on and off the ice. I want to win everything. I'm a winner. Apparently, he didn't win the tournament, so he said, to hell with this medal. He said he won a tournament in the under-18s a couple years ago. He's had it in a box for 2 years, has never looked at it. He said, the guy that got it wanted it more than me. He can keep it. I have absolutely no interest in it. Is he a spoiled brat? Does he have some growing up to do? Hey, he didn't want the medal. I have no problem.
Yeah, and some lucky fan got themselves a silver medal, way better than a T-shirt, right?
The guy gave it back to them, and Andersson said, I still don't want it.
All right. Well, you know what you want? You want to stick around and listen to T.C. Martin. The Doctor is next.